something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. I'm only delighted to have one of the warmest guests we've ever had on the show, Claudia Carroll, back. Hi, Claudia.
Trina, I am so honoured to be back on the show. It's a long time since I was in studio. It was long before COVID. Mm. My God, little did we know what lay ahead. But it's wonderful to be back chatting to you and keep up the great work.
Well, isn't it great that in your line of work, despite COVID, nothing is going to stop you from writing?
Well, this is it. You see, I worked from home. I work from home anyway. So, like, this is my 17th book. Would you believe that, Trina? The Fixer is number 17. I've just delivered book number 18, which I hope I'll be back to chat to you in person. In 2022,
we'll book it in now.
But book it in now. We'll book it in a year in advance. But I've worked from home. Like most other authors that I'm friends with, I work from home anyway. So it was sort of that part of my life was business as usual. And I needed that. You know, it was just good to keep the creative juices flowing. Mm. But having said that now, the arts industry, the theatre business, really did suffer in COVID. It was so sad to see the theatres closed. And I was so cross because I thought, why are cinemas allowed to reopen and not theatres? Now, that's changing. As of today, I just saw in the news very happily that the theatre festival will be going ahead, obviously with social distancing, mask wearing, all of the things that we take for granted now. But it's wonderful. Actors, theatre makers, it's been awful. It's just been awful.
I know. Because, Claudia, you turned your hand at writing a play as well, right in the middle of all this.
Oh my God, Trina. The hardest work I ever did, I tell you. 14 drafts of the play. You'd never do 14 drafts for a book. But it was great because we had the show booked. I wrote the parts for my two closest friends, Clelia Murphy and Marion O'Dwyer, and a third young actress called Megan MacDonald from Normal People, who is brilliant in it. And it was based on my book, The Secrets of Primrose Square. A producer pal of mine, Pat Moylan, heard me chatting about it on the radio and just rang me out of the blue and said, you know, that could be a play, three strong women, just think about it. And it took 3 years to get to the stage, but we got there. And it was just a joy. We streamed it from Dreacht. Unfortunately, we had three different tours planned, which all got COVID-ed. That's my new verb. So unfortunately, because of COVID restrictions, we couldn't tour, we couldn't travel, you couldn't leave 2 kilometres from your house. But we did get to stream the show from Dreacht Theatre back in June, July. And that was magic, just to sit in the theatre and see actors perform was electrifying. So we streamed it and it did pretty well. We were all very encouraged by the reaction. So hopefully, when theatres do reopen towards the end of the year, we'll maybe get to see it live. I know.
With,
I hope you come, Trina.
I will, of course.
You'll be in the front row.
I'm telling you, any excuse to get out. That's what I need.
Oh, this is it. Yeah. I know. So, have you been getting out? Have a 4-year-old. How?
I've been getting to the local shop and back. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, Tesco for me was like my Saturday night out.
Oh, I know.
Tesco. And Dunn's Stores was like my glamour night out, you know? It's lovely to see people coming out of it now. And I heard Luke O'Neill on the radio yesterday saying, we've got to, you know, we need to start allowing the big open air concerts and events. We're vaccinated. We've got to trust that now. Mm. So I love listening to Luke O'Neill because he's always very positive.
Yeah.
So
he's
please
a real
God,
character,
I'm vaccinated
isn't he?
Anyway. Yeah. I know, He's like the rock and roll,
making science sexy, isn't that it?
Exactly. But please, God, you know, vaccination, I know it's not the be-all and the end-all, but it certainly helps. And with luck, it'll help us stop going to hospital, please, God. So, the challenge now, I think, is just to live our lives and hope that we don't get any more scary variants.
That's it. Claudia, tell me about The Fixer, the new book, because it's about one a year that you do, is it? On one every year,
non-stop. I liken it to doing the leaving cert every single year, a book a year. So I feel like I've been doing my leaving for 18 years now, back to back, and I still haven't passed. But anyway, The Fixer, to tell you a little bit about it, the original title was The Mistress Catcher. And where the idea came from was, of all things, Trina, an article in the New York Times, no, the New Yorker, I beg your pardon, about 3 years ago called The Mistress Catcher. And I thought, here, you could, what, Mistress Catcher? What is going on there? So I read it, and this is an actual, this is not fiction. This is something that I did not make up. This is an actual true thing. A job occupation in, now I'm talking really wealthy elite circles, predominantly in Asia, in China particularly, where the top 1%, like billionaires, if you are in a relationship, a marriage, whatever, and if there was a third party in that relationship who was unwanted by you, and you think, okay, I've got a life with this person, we've got houses, we've got homes, we've got kids, we've got a lifestyle, I haven't decided what to do with the errant third party yet, but I need the third party, the unwanted third party who the, your spouse is maybe playing away from home with, airbrushed from the equation.
Okay.
So what do? You send for the mistress catcher. And the mistress catcher will come along, and she won't go near the errant spouse. She will zone in on the third party. She will befriend them largely through social media. And I'm always amazed, Trina, on social media, the amount of personal information that people willingly give away. So like there's people, for instance, on Instagram, which I'm not on very often, but when I am, the strangers I follow, complete strangers, and I know what they had for breakfast, what they're wearing today, where they go for coffee, where they were out for dinner last night, what cultural influences there are on them. You know, I know an awful lot about strangers. And that's what the mistress catcher does. She will just inveigle her way into your life, and she will befriend this third party with such charm and such elegance. And she will just, through using the good old-fashioned art of persuasion, she'll say, look, what are you doing with that married Egypt? Like, you're too fabulous for this. You shouldn't be in that
relationship. So she'll encourage her away, is it?
Look, you know, meet this person here. And she'll encourage you. She'll turn your head, set up introductions for you, maybe encourage you to take a better job opportunity overseas or in a different city. So you're just airbrushed out of the picture. And this goes on. Like, you couldn't make it up. It's like in that movie, Crazy Rich Asians. I don't know if you saw it, but just that strata of society where money's not an object. And I thought, supposing you had something like that in Ireland, where we all know each other. And I thought, supposing everything goes well, and we change the title to The Fixer, because in the book, my anti-heroine, who's called Meg Monroe, is very much, she's a baddie, she's manipulative, but she, her attitude is, by the time I'm finished with you, by the time I've sorted your people problems, everyone's actually better off. All three people in the equation are better off than they were when I started working on you. And she does it so elegantly and with such discretion that you're not even aware that you're being manipulated. So she's an equal opportunity fixer. And it could be a corporate situation, for instance, not necessarily romantic, that she will come along and you might say to her, look, I've got an employee that's dragging my team down. They're dragging down our average. They're a pain in the face. Can you just make them move to a different corporation because I can't deal with them anymore? Mm. And she will. And she does it with 100% success until someone from her past, who a case she's worked on previously, comes, bounces back into her life. And everything goes belly up. And I'm not telling you anymore, Trina.
Ah, you always do this on me, Claudia.
Yeah.
We have to go
not
and buy the
you
book.
Words. You have to read it now, yeah. But it just came out last week, so it's great.
Fantastic.
It's great to be. See the bookshops open, yeah. You know, bouncing around the bookshops is so cool.
So what came first for you, Claudia? Was it the love of writing or was it the love of acting? Because, you know, everyone knows you, of course, from as Nicola
both,
from Fair City
really.
As well, yeah.
Absolutely. And thankfully, Fair City was great. It gave great hope to so many in the acting business because it kept going right the way through lockdown. Mm. Now socially distanced with everybody wearing masks, of course. But I, you know, I've been dipping in and out of it now for years. My character's a baddie, like nobody likes her. And she's a real, you know, nasty piece of work. And the way I describe it is the producers allow Nicola to fly in on her broomstick every now and then, cackle, stir the cauldron, and then fly off again, like the Wicked Witch of the West. So it's quite crack.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
It's great but she's never been killed off. Don't. Sure she hasn't. You know, they'll never kill her
and
off,
I don't
think.
That continue. You never know. I mean, with a soap, you never know. But yeah, I've been there since 1993, in and out, in and out, in and out. But it's just fantastic. And it gives so much employment to so many actors, writers, directors, crew, makeup artists. You've no idea. So it's very heartening to see.
What was the first love then, would you say?
Oh, I beg your pardon. No, I actually forgot the question. Sorry. I talk too much, Trina, as you can gather. But pretty much both. I was writing plays from when I was about a kid, really, and always dreamt of writing, but never, never with any thoughts of publication. Like, to me, book deals were magical things that happened to other people, like, you know, Patricia Scanlon and Sheila O'Flanagan and Maeve Binchy, the late great Maeve, of course, who helped so many Irish authors. Yeah. But Anita Nataro, the late great Anita Nataro, now much missed, was a producer and director in RTE, and she was directing Fair City, and she was my neighbour, and we used to have great chats. And she had just published her very first book to great acclaim, and I was saying to her, we were walking home from work together one day, and I was saying, oh, Anita, you've done it, and you're working in RTE full time, and you still managed to get a book out there, and I don't know how you did it, but why can I not do it? And she said, well, just give me a couple of chapters of your book and a pitch, and I'll send it to my own agent. And I can't guarantee anything, but we'll send it in and we'll just see what we see. Mm. So I did. And her agent was Marianne Gunn O'Connor, who's now not just my agent, but one of my best friends. We're very close pals. And she fantastically, I mean, just, it was one of the happiest days of my career. She said, yeah, I'd like to represent you. And that changed everything for me. That really did. That's it. Just really goes since then. So I was sort of the opposite to a lot of writers in that I had an agent first, and the book deal came after. But it's been magical. I love doing it. I would tell stories all day.
It's funny you mentioned about Patricia Scanlon there, because I think the last interview I did before COVID. I think one of the last interviews we did before COVID was with Patricia, and she was raging at the time because, she was bringing out a book and her book launch had to be cancelled and everything. Little did we know. We thought it was going to be for a couple of weeks.
I know. Sure, that's what we all thought. And the war will be over by Christmas.
That's it.
We're getting there.
She was telling us about, living in an apartment and being absolutely freezing and trying to write books and working in the library. And do you know how things started? Everyone has a tough start, don't they? Yeah.
I was in the dressing rooms of RTE, and that's where I wrote my first book, pretty much in the dressing rooms of Fair City, hanging around between scenes. Because just with the Fair City schedule, you would often get a day, often a filming day, where you might be called at like 6:30 in the morning. And you do a scene, you'd go in, you'd get your makeup on, you'd get the hair done, you'd get onto the set, do your scene. And then you might be hanging around until the afternoon, until 2 or 3.
Yeah.
So you'd all that time. And I just started bringing in the laptop with me and just working from the dressing room. So I got the advantage was I got very good at tuning out background noise. So I can work now in train stations, travelling. I can work with, it doesn't matter if there's alarms going on all around me.
Claudia probably has a book written during this interview. As we're talking, she's typing away.
I don't know about that. She's good at multitasking.
It's
a great joy to do. It really is. But it's just great. The Irish people are such fabulous readers. You know, we really are. And you've no idea how heartening it is to hear from readers. And social media has opened all that up to us. Yeah. There's nothing that makes your day more worthwhile than a reader contacting you on Twitter or Instagram saying, oh my God, I just read this. And it just makes your day. You think that's what you're doing it for.
Well, Claudia, can I just thank you for having such a large font in your book as well? Because I tell you what, after working from home for the last year and a half, the eyesight is failing. So this is great to have such a large font. The Fixer is out now. Claudia Carroll, will catch up definitely in person the next time because COVID has to be gone by then.
Your studio, you won't keep me away.
I know.
Trina, I am there. I'm booking my bum on your studio guest seat because it's always a joy to come into. Do you know, it never feels like work when we're chatting. It just feels
so
like I'm
good.
Having a natter with a fellow book lover.
Thanks so much, Claudia. We'll chat to you really soon. The Fixer
out
now. Cheers, love. This is Something for the Weekend.
Thank you so much.
It's Ireland's Classic Hits.